येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणारघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणाललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे रामो 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 हरे हरे So we have discussed till chapter number 4. So in the fourth chapter, we have Sukadeva Goswami describing the four types of pralaya, and towards the end of the chapter, he discussed the parampara of Bhagavatam. How parampara is coming from Narayan Rishi, then Narada Muni, then Vyasadeva, then Sukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami. Now, in the fifth chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is giving his final instructions to Parikshit Maharaj. So today, this conversation will end. The conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, which we haven't been discussing since 18, 19 months. So that today is the last section of that. However, Sukadeva Goswami felt that I have spoken too much high philosophy. Not philosophy, I spoke the most secret thing, highest thing. Sukadeva Goswami knows that Parikshit Maharaj is qualified to receive all this. But along with Parikshit Maharaj, so many other kinds of people are also sitting in the assembly. So Sukadeva Goswami felt that, I have spoken such a high philosophy in my own ecstasy. And inspired by my glorious disciple sitting in front. But not everybody is happy with it. Not everybody is able to assimilate this. So let me hide this. So Sukadeva Goswami's contemplation is very well presented in the first purport by Srila Chakravarti Pad. He gave a 7-page commentary on that one verse. So he made some 7 to 8 slides on that to present this. I think I felt it is very important to understand what he mentioned. Although in this book it is summarized. The summary of what Chakravarti Pad spoke is unconditional loving surrender to Supreme Lord Krishna. Right? But we'll see his flow of thought. Why Sukadeva Goswami wanted to hide the conclusion of Bhagavatam, we will see elaborately. So in these few verses, this chapter happens to be one of the smallest chapters, but one of the deepest chapters in the Bhagavatam. So first verse, Sri Suka Uvacha, Atra anuvarnyate bhikshnam Vishat Vishvatma Bhagavan Hari Yasya prasada jo brahma Rudra krodha samudbhavah.
Sukhdev Goswami said, this Srimad Bhagavatam has elaborately described in various narrations the supreme soul of all that be, the personality of Godhead, Hari, from whose satisfaction Brahma is born and from whose anger Rudra takes birth.
So we'll discuss. Atra means here. Atra comes three times. Dharma Projita Kavita Votra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Smaram. So Bhagavatam began with that. Atra. In this Bhagavatam. In the glories of Bhagavatam happened. So now it's concluding statement now. Atra. Atra Anuvarnyate. In this Bhagavatam, I have elaborately described Abhikshnam repeatedly. Elaborately and repeatedly. What he has described? Vishvatma Bhagavan Harihi. I have described the pastimes and qualities of Lord Hari, who is Bhagavan, who is Vishvatma, the soul of entire universe. Right? Yasya prasada jo brahma. Yasya prasada. Prasada means his pleasure or satisfaction. So from his satisfaction, jo brahma. Ja means one who is born of. So Brahmaji is born of Lord's pleasure. Okay, then Rudra Krodha Samudbhavaha. So here Rudra is born of not Lord's anger but Brahmaji's anger. Right? So, and in one sense, it's Lord's anger only. Rudra is manifesting Lord's anger only. Right? So, this is the literal meaning of the verse. Now we'll elaborate this. In this Bhagavatam, Atra Anuvarnyate Abhikshnam. Vishvatma Bhagavan Harihi. So we'll elaborate on these two lines based on Chakvadipa's commentary. So Sukadeva Goswami thought, you can just follow the slides. So Bhakti is the king of knowledge and king of all secrets, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, as Krishna himself says. So Sukadeva Goswami showed the supremacy of this path of Bhakti. Atra Anuvaranyate Abhikshnam. So very repetitively, he has discussed this process of bhakti by positive statements and negative statements. What are those statements? Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena ejeta purushaparam. So one has to worship the Supreme Lord, whatever may be one's desires, right? Then if any of these varanas or ashramas fail to worship the Lord, they will fall down. This our Nimi Maharaj was told by one of the Navayogendras in 11.5, right? The last chapter of Nimi Navayogendra Samvad. This comes. Then, repeatedly, although this verse quoted here, Naishkaryam Apyachita Bhava Varjitam, this is not the verse spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, but Chakravartipad gives this in the commentary, because the first canto is also part of Bhagavatam only, although Sukadeva Goswami has not spoken. So, repeatedly, this karma and jnana processes are rejected, and the results of these processes of karma and jnana, which is heavenly planets and liberation, they are also rejected repeatedly in Bhagavatam. Next, even jnana also, when it is performed without bhakti, it doesn't give liberation. For jnana to produce the intended result, which is liberation, it has to have a bhakti component. So that is mentioned in the 11th canto again. Then, in Yeramindaksha Vimukta Maninaha, how jnanis consider themselves as Vimuktas, although they are not. So that is mentioned. So everything achieved by jnana, karma, tapasa, yoga, etc., all those are achieved by bhakti. So this is also again repeatedly mentioned in that 20th chapter, pure devotional service chapter. Towards the end, Krishna says this fact. Next. Gopis have not undergone any purificatory rites, right, in the 23rd chapter. Gopis are, who is that? Yajna Patnis, Brahman Patnis. Brahman Patnis have not undergone any purificatory rites, but they have loving devotional service towards Krishna. So that's one thing. Then bhakti within jnana, although it is very minute element, minor element. This is bhakti mishra jnana. Jnana is the primary element, bhakti is the secondary element. Still, that secondary element only will produce liberation. All his, you know, so many limbs that he practices within the process of jnana, they will not give him liberation. The little bhakti that he does, that only will make him qualified for liberation. So, Krishna says, bhaktyaham ekaya grahya. Krishna is achieved only by bhakti, no other process. Then what is the use of yoga, sankhya, sannyasa, svadhyaya, etc.? Fourth canto, this comes. And in fourth canto, last chapter, 31st chapter, where Narada Muni speaks to Prachetas. There, the supremacy of devotional service is glorified so much. Here, Chakravarti Pad gives few comments here and there where bhakti process is glorified. But if we can recollect from our own memory or our own study for the last 20 months, there are several instances in Bhagavatam where the supremacy of bhakti is established in comparison to all other processes. Okay, it is kechit kevalaya bhaktya. Then the supremacy and superiority of bhakti over all other processes is established. It is very much apparent in the aspirations of so many pure devotees in their prayers. Right? So bhakti is recommended through upakrama, proposal, upasamhara, conclusion, abhyasa, repetition. Right? So bhakti is recommended many times. It's proposed. Then bhakti is concluded. So he just says in the second canto beginning chapters, he says about demigod worship, Virat Roop meditation, then yoga, Ashtanga yoga, etc. So many things he says. And so bhakti is the main thing. Bhakti is the ultimate process one has to follow. As a conclusive truth, it is established. Bhakti is established as a conclusive truth. Hence proved, mathematical theorem. Right? This is hence proved. Or it is given as a recommendation. Or repeatedly, abhyasa, how many devotees perform devotional service, that is also mentioned. Through all these three processes, bhakti is recommended. So including jnana and yoga here and there is only to enhance the supremacy of bhakti. Right? To enhance the point that bhakti is supreme. Like that, bhakti is superior. So it's only to teach the devotees about those philosophies and to show the superiority of bhakti. For example, Devahuti says, when she was hearing from Kapila Dev, Devahuti says, I am asking you about yoga and sankhya and other things, jnana and ashtanga yoga, only so that if I know the complications of other processes, I can take to bhakti better. Okay? By, you say this is the best product, but if you compare it with other products, right, your appreciation for this product will increase. Okay? That is the purpose of describing other processes in Bhagavatam. Okay, but the main recommendation of Bhagavatam, ultimate recommendation of Bhagavatam is bhakti only. Next. Even little bhakti gives liberation. Yannamadheya sravananukirtanat. So bhakti supremacy is established. And bhakti, even if it is done in a very meager proportion also, it will give the ultimate result. Yannamadheya sravananukirtanat. Then ahopataswapachotogariyam. Even a dog eater also will be purified, swapacha. Then Uddhava also concluded, there is no other superior process for liberation except bhakti, in 11th canto. Then, liberation is derided as a goal of life, and bhakti is established by me as the crown jewel of human goals. Right? So many other references, Chakravarti Pad quotes. Next, the authority of sages' words is relative. So after saying all this, Sukadeva Goswami thinks. So sages speak, that is authoritative, but it is considered relative. But when I speak, that is considered absolute. And let these words be famous everywhere, even in Vaikuntha. So whatever Sukadeva Goswami spoke is not wrong. Sukadeva Goswami is not considering that what I spoke is wrong. But he considered that Lord prefers some matters to be kept secret. No, Krishna prefers that this matter has to be kept secret. It should not be revealed to each and every person. Right? And he quotes a reference also. 10.87.2, where the Supreme Lord is saying that I should, this science has to be kept secret. Right? So, Sukadeva Goswami is thinking, since I have revealed this great secret, which Lord wanted to keep it confidential, I have become not so dear to the Lord. Right? Now, I will try to hide the great secret of bhakti by teaching jnana to Parikshit. Right? So, he gives an example. For example, a man is there, he has, say, so many jewels in his jewel box. Right? So, just to show off, he would just open the jewel box and takes the most precious jewel and then shows to everyone. Seeing the emotions of people, and then he will understand, hey, I should not have shown. Right? This is not the right place where I have to show. Some people may steal it. Some people may start envy me. Something like that. Developing some emotion, he will try to hide it. And he takes some other not so precious jewel and then picks out it, and then he shows off with it. Right? He has hidden the greatest treasure with him, and he's showing something less important. Right? Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami, in his ecstasy, he was lost, and he presented bhakti, right, without any compromise so far. But now he is realizing that so many jnanis are there, I should not have shown. And further, Lord wanted to keep it confidential. I unnecessarily revealed it. Maybe Lord will be angry with me. Lord may not be pleased with me. That's why, at least at the end, I will cover it. Okay? So now I will present jnana to Parikshit. By the influence of Lord's maya, when I conclude Bhagavatam by speaking jnana, people will think that jnana is ultimate. And so far I have spoken about bhakti, and at the end I am speaking about jnana. So people, by the influence of Lord's illusory energy, they will think that bhakti is the means to achieve jnana. Jnana is ultimate and bhakti is just a means. That's how they will think. And Sukadeva Goswami was very confident that intelligent devotees will not be misguided by this. Only those people who are supposed to be misguided, supposed to be bewildered by Lord Maya, will be bewildered. Okay? So, the intended message, the confidentiality of the message is retained by doing this. At the same time, the deserving candidate will definitely make benefit out of it. Right? Now, there is another purpose why he has hidden. He wanted to test the bhakti of my disciple. Now he is about to leave his body in few minutes. Now if I say something which is actually not my intention, if he is an intelligent disciple, if he is a sincere disciple, he will understand, he should read my mind. Right? Now I will test how advanced is he in his bhakti. Right? Sometimes Lord also tests his devotees by giving them, you want liberation? Take liberation. You want material opulence? Take material opulence. Like that, he presents so many benedictions, allurements in front of a devotee to tempt the devotee, to test the devotee. And ultimately to do what? Lord also knows the heart of the devotee. Devotee will not be allured by all these temporary benedictions. He would want loving devotional service only. When, in spite of all these temptations, when the devotee desires for a loving devotional service, his devotion, his surrender to the Lord is glorified. The devotee's glories will be revealed to the entire world. So Lord's intention is always to reveal the glories of his devotees to the entire world. In Mahaprakash Leela, Mahaprabhu is sitting there. He is calling so many devotees and ask some benediction, ask some benediction. Narasimhadeva was sitting there. And he asked Prahlad Maharaj, ask whatever you want. He says, I am not a businessman, I am not doing business for you. Right? Unconditionally, I want to serve you. Right? So, by tempting a devotee or by testing a devotee, Lord wants to glorify his devotee. Similarly, by testing Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami wanted to glorify Parikshit Maharaj. Right? By presenting jnana at the end, Parikshit will not be bewildered. Alright? So far you told about bhakti, now you are saying about jnana. Oh, maybe my guru wants me to do jnana. So he will not be confused like that. He already got the conclusive truth. So Sukadeva Parikshit Maharaj passed this test in 6th canto also. So when Sukadeva Parikshit Maharaj said, how can people be saved from hellish planets? First Sukadeva Goswami said, do karma gandhik atonement. Then he said, prove jnana gandha. So Parikshit Maharaj rejected all this. Right? One, he said, Kunjara Shavachavat, karma gandhik atonement. And seeing the emotion and expression of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami did not have to wait for his answer also when he proposed Jnanakanda process. He himself said, it is Venugalma Vivanala. Right? Now I will come propose Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya, which is Niharam Iva Bhaskara. So he wanted to test his disciple. Then he is confident that intelligent people will understand Sukadeva Goswami's actual intention. Conclusion. That is, bhakti is superior to jnana. Jnana is not ultimate. Right? So, because actually Sukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj in the fifth canto only, Rajan Patir Gurulalam Bhavatam Yadunam. The last line of that is, Muktim Dadati Karhitit Smana Bhakti Yogam. So, the Supreme Lord can give mukti very easily, not bhakti. Muktim Dadati Karhitit Smana Bhakti Yogam. So there itself, Sukadeva Goswami established that bhakti is superior to mukti. Right? So now if he says something else, that will not be confusing to intelligent devotees. But that will be confusing and misguiding to unintelligent people. So that's how the confidentiality of the message of Bhagavatam is preserved. Right? And no need to fear that Parikshit Maharaj will attain any impersonal liberation. Because Sukadeva Goswami was confident that Suta Goswami was sitting there. In the previous verse, what did he say? Last verse of the previous chapter. This Suta Goswami who is sitting there, he will explain it to Naimisharanya sages. So Suta Goswami, we understood my intentions properly. And in future, he will explain them properly. He will explain the position of Parikshit Maharaj also. He will glorify Parikshit Maharaj left, right, center in future. Right? So he said, Savai Mahabhagavata Parikshit. So Parikshit Maharaj, what he attained was not impersonal liberation after hearing the jnana in the last few minutes of his life. He attained the lotus feet of the Lord. That Suta Goswami declared. And Sukadeva Goswami knows that Suta Goswami will declare it in future. So Sukadeva Goswami was confidently confusing people. Right? And he indicated in 5.6.18, as I said, Rajan Patir Gurulam, that Parikshit will attain Prema Bhakti. And Krishna said bhakti conquers jnana and devotee doesn't have a desire for liberation. By hearing all this, definitely realization of Brahman realization or impersonal realization are not the ultimate that people will understand, intelligent people will understand. He was confident. And finally, in the very first chapter, first canto, first verse, we have heard that Bhagavatam is like Mohini Murti also. Okay, Bhagavatam was compared to tasty fruit, Nigama Kalpatar or Galitam Phalam. Then Bhagavatam was compared to a desire tree. Right? Bhagavatam is compared to lamp, sun, arka. So, and one more comparison is Mohini Murti. Mohini Murti would bewilder demons and would favor demigods. Right? Similarly, Bhagavatam will present its intended message and conclusion to deserving devotees. And will confuse people who are not deserving, right? Confuse the materialistic people. Confuse people who are not dedicated to bhakti. That's why Bhagavatam is like Mohini Murti. It is like with different faces for different kinds of people, right? So in teaching jnana, I will first speak one meaning and then indicate another meaning, smeared with bhakti rasa, to please the devotees. So in this chapter towards the end, last couple of verses, Sukadeva Goswami speaks the verse in such a way that it has two meanings. One meaning is intended for the devotees, right? Other meaning, the external meaning is for people in general, right? I am Brahman, you are Brahman, I am God, you are God, that kind of statements he will say. But that is clear, that is nicely understood in the proper light by devotees. So by doing that, I will make all the elements of jnana that are unfavorable for bhakti, favorable for bhakti. By including them in bhakti. Right? So apparently some statements seem to have a jnana interpretation. It seems like it's a jnana statement, but the confidential meaning, internal meaning, hidden meaning of it is understood by devotees. That's so what seems to be a jnana statement is actually a bhakti statement. Okay, what seems to be unfavorable for devotional service will become favorable by Sukadeva Goswami's presentation towards the end of this chapter. Next. So that is our first two lines. It's a little elaborate thing. And also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna concluded with jnana. First six chapters, karma yoga. Second six chapters, bhakti. Last six are jnana. So he kept the bhakti part in the middle to preserve its confidentiality. It's compared to a treasure box, right? The bottom part is bottom part and top part are like covering the inside treasure nicely. That is bhakti, right? So second and third line, yasya prasada jo brahma rudraha krodha samudbhavaha. So Brahma is born of Lord's pleasure. What does that mean? Pleasure means sattvaguna. Brahma is born of sattvaguna. He is born of rajaguna. Okay. Next. Shiva is born of anger. So actually Lord is beyond all these gunas. Right? So it is impossible for him to have anger or tamas as a part of his swarupa. So the last two statements are kind of exaggerated statements. But the actual meaning of those statements is like this. Either Lord's pleasure or anger, both are in Shuddha Sattva Guna. Right? So, Lord's pleasure is, Lord is pleased or Lord expresses pleasure with a devotee who serves him. So, Brahma served the Lord, so Lord is pleased with him. Right? Yasya prasada jo Brahma. So, Lord's pleasure he is with a devotee who serves him. So he is the cause of sadhana and sadhya. When the Lord is pleased, that Lord's pleasure is the cause of our sadhana and sadhya. Sadhana is bhakti, sadhya is prema. Right? Prema pumarto mahan. So one should strive for this. That is the meaning of third line. Fourth line is rudraha krodha samudbhavaha. So Lord's anger is with those people who harm the devotees, who offend the devotees. So Lord's anger is the cause of the destruction of sadhana and sadhya. If someone offends the devotees, he will be devoid of his means and goal. So one should strive to avoid this. Right? So the meaning of last two lines would be, try to get Lord's pleasure. Try to please the Lord. And try to avoid Lord's anger. Right? So that is the meaning of last two lines. So this is how the first verse is explained by Chakravartipad. Now, one more interesting comment that he gives at the end of his commentary was, a question is raised. If Sukadeva Goswami completed Bhagavatam in this chapter, in the fifth chapter, this should be the end of Bhagavatam. Why we are reading six more chapters, two, three more classes, right? We can have grand test tomorrow only. So the answer is, sometimes a preliminary or concluding portions of a sacrifice are also called sacrifice. For example, we did Sudarshan Yagya recently. So the main Sudarshan Yagya happened from 7:15, 7:30 to 9. But we started sacrifice at 6:30 only. Right? So Kalasha Puja and all the preliminary rituals happened before that. Right? And we started at 4:30 only, arranging all that preparations. Right? So all these are a part of sacrifice only. Although the main sacrifice is that one and a half times of chanting that mantra, Mahasudarshan mantra, but the initial and ending parts of sacrifice are also considered a part of sacrifice. Similarly, first canto 19 chapters, 12th canto last 6 chapters or 7 chapters are also considered a part of Bhagavatam. Further, introduction to the drama and blessings at the end of drama is also part of drama. So titles before the movie and and the end slide of the movie both are part of the movie only. So the duration of the movie is calculated including those timings. And Krishna, there is this Gita Mahatmya verse, Gita Sugita Kartavya Kim Anyehi Shastra Vartate Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmat Vinishata. So Krishna says if you should read Bhagavad Gita, and from Bhagavad Gita first chapter, first verse till last chapter, last verse, Krishna did not speak. In fact, the first entire chapter, Krishna did not speak a single word. He started speaking in the 7th verse of second chapter, right? But still, Gita is considered to be 18 chapters, not 17 chapters or less than that. 700 slokas were not spoken by Krishna. He spoke my whatever 500 plus, something like that. So, though all 18 chapters of Gita were not completely spoken by the Lord, according to Gita Mahatmya, this verse is correct. Similarly, although the first canto and the second half of 12th canto are not spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, it is said that they are also spoken by him only. Right? It should be considered that Sukadeva Goswami is only speaking from first canto, first chapter till the last canto, last verse. Right? It should be considered like that. When you say Bhagavatam, it is full. Not when Sukadeva Goswami starts speaking and when Sukadeva Goswami ends speaking. It is from first verse till last verse. So, yeah, this is second verse. So now let's see what Sukadeva Goswami has to speak. Tvam tu rajan marishyeti Pashu buddhim imam jahi Najata prak abhutodya Dehavad Atvam nanangshyati.
O king, give up the animalistic mentality of thinking, I am going to die. Unlike the body, you have not taken birth. There was not a time in the past when you did not exist and you are not about to be destroyed.
So, he gives the knowledge of the spirit soul. Here Sukadeva Goswami is saying, Tvam tu rajan marishyeti. Marishyeti means marishye means I am about to die. Iti. If you are thinking like this, that is pashu buddhi. See, last he is chastising the disciple heavily. Pashu buddhi, give up this animalistic mentality that you are going to die. Right? I am going to die. That feeling is born from a strong identification with the body. That is pashu buddhi, animalistic mentality. Actually, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking like this, but it is not meant for Parikshit. Parikshit definitely doesn't have animalistic mentality. Right? No need to say that. He said, Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra gangachatevi dhritamaschitramise. Yesterday also we were discussing. Before even meeting Sukadeva Goswami, he was just ready to give up his life. Dvijopa srishta kohakas takshakova. Okay, Dvija, that Brahmana has cursed me. Let that magical thing or whatever, takshaka, that bird, or what is that, snake, can come and bite me. No problem. I am not at all afraid of this death. Right? Dashatvalam gayata Vishnu gatha. Okay, till that happens, you just keep singing the glories of Krishna, glories of Vishnu. So he was in that consciousness. So he was not at all in animalistic mentality. But still, Sukadeva Goswami used these words because he is beginning the teachings of Jnana. These teachings of Jnana are not meant for Parikshit, but for those who have animalistic mentality. Right? Pashu buddhi. Whoever has pashu buddhi, they are the intended candidates to listen to this discourse on this chapter. Ahammamedi conception. So, even before hearing Bhagavatam, he is a Mahabhagavata. Right? So, he does not having animalistic fear. Now, Chakravarti Pada writes, your body did not exist previously. Now it exists and in future it will be destroyed. But you are not born and you were not previously non-existent. Now you will die. You are a jivatma, different from the material covering. The statement is not favorable for bhakti. So here, Sukadeva Goswami is trying to remove the gross and subtle bodily conceptions of the hearer. Right? Through the medium of Parikshit, he is giving that lesson. Right? Sometimes a guru chastises a disciple, though the disciple doesn't deserve such chastisement. Right? So a surrendered disciple will not get offended by it. Here Parikshit Maharaj was not offended when Sukadeva Goswami said, Pashu Buddhi. You are calling me Pashu Buddhi, 7 days I am hearing you. When I am about to leave my body, you are saying, I am Pashu Buddhi. Give up this Pashu Buddhi. He wouldn't get offended. Right? But completely, he completely gives up his false ego, he has no false ego, and totally is malleable by the intentions of the spiritual master. The malleability with the instructions and intentions of spiritual master is very important for a disciple. If the disciple has to think 10 times, if the guru has to think 10 times before instructing a disciple, then the disciple is not in a very good position, right? So whatever may be the will of guru, disciple is ready to follow, right? So earlier, Uddhava was in a great devotional mentality, right? But Krishna inspired Uddhava to ask about Jnana, and then he made him hear 23 chapters of this Uddhava Gita. It's all complicated philosophy, right? Which Uddhava is not is a deserving candidate for it. Means he doesn't need to hear all that, right? He's qualified to accompany Krishna while he's going back to Godhead and participate in his eternal pastimes. But Uddhava was malleable with the intentions of Krishna, and he has heard all that, so that we can hear all this, all that Uddhava Gita. Uddhava Gita is not meant for Uddhava, it is meant for all of us, right? And our Krishna, Arjuna was also put into bewilderment, right? Yudhishthira Maharaj was put into bewilderment. Parikshit Maharaj was put into an awkward situation so that Bhagavatam can come up. So now Sukadeva Goswami is intending to cover the conclusion of Bhagavatam. He is intending to please some jnanis also. He is intending to preserve the confidentiality of this message of Bhagavatam and Bhakti. That's why he is testing Sukadeva Goswami. He is testing Parikshit Maharaj. Right. It's actually a great fortune to be chastised by a guru like this, right? Unless the guru has trust on the disciple, he would not chastise him. Unless the guru is confident that disciple would accept my chastisement in the right spirit, he would understand my intentions properly. Guru is not comfortable to chastise him, right? So he's saying pasubuddhi. Next. In the third verse, he says, Nabhavishyasi bhuta bhutvatvam putra putra adirupavan bijankuravad dehadir vyatirikto yathanalaham.
You will not take birth again in the form of your sons and grandsons, like a sprout taking birth from a seed and then generating a new seed. Rather, you are entirely distinct from the material body and its paraphernalia, in the same way that fire is distinct from its fuel.
Some people might think, well, dying, I will take birth again as the son of my son, as my grandson, right? I will take birth in the same family, enjoy the same property, like that. So sprouts take birth from a seed and generate a new seed, right? One seed is there, it generates a plant, and that plant generates some seed, and again it will sprout and give birth to another plant, right? So, but here Sukadeva Goswami is saying, you are not going to take birth to produce some sons or grandsons, putra, pautra, adi, rupavan. You are not going to take birth again as putra or pautra of yourself. You are distinct from this material body, just like fire is distinct from its fuel. Yeah, the tree is burning or some plant is burning, so that is different from the fire. Similarly, soul is different from the body, right? So you are not this body, you are this soul. Again, basics, back to basics. Next, fourth verse. Svapne yatha sirascedam panchatvadhyatmana svayam yasmat pasyati dehasya tata atma hyajo maraha.
In a dream, one can see his own head being cut up and thus understand that his actual self is standing apart from the dream experience. Similarly, while awake, one can see that his body is a product of the 5 material elements. Therefore, it is to be understood that the actual self, the soul, is distinct from the body. It adjusts and it unborn and immortal.
So when somebody sees his head being cut off, how can he see? If somebody is cutting his head, he cannot see that his head is being cut up. Already his head is detached from his body. It can happen only in a dream. The same example comes in 3.7, Maitreya. So when Vidura asks Maitreya, what is the basis of this soul, connection with this material body? He says it's only misidentification, right? There is no other explanation for it. Soul is unnecessarily misidentifying itself with this body. This conclusion is repeated again in Uddhava Gita also. Again he is saying that. So in dream one sees that his own head is being cut off. While he is awake, he sees that this body is a product of five elements, earth, water, fire, and ether. Right? But in both the states, self stays aloof from the body, distinct from the body. It stays like an observer. It is unborn, it is immortal. These are the qualities of the soul. Only because of misidentification it is entrapped in this body. Like that. So he says that again. Now fifth verse. Ghate abhinne ghata akasha. Akashasyadyathapura. Evam dehe mrute jivo. Brahma sampadyate punaha.
When a pot is broken, the portion of the sky within the pot remains as the element sky, just as before. In the same way, when the gross and subtle bodies die, the living entity within resumes his spiritual identity.
Mm. So when the pot is broken, the ether inside the pot mixes with the ether outside the pot. Ether outside the pot is very big, and inside the pot is this much sky. So that will again merge into it. This has a jnana interpretation, jnana explanation, right? In the same way, when the gross and subtle bodies die, the living entity within resumes its spiritual identity. That's the explanation, that's the translation given. However, there are two meanings for this verse. So two meanings are, by the process of jnana, the subtle body is destroyed, which is difficult to destroy. The subtle body is destroyed. Then, the pot breaking is the destruction of the body, destruction of subtle body. Second, the inside is not just the soul, there is super soul also. Right? When pot breaks, inside ether is mixing in the outside ether. So, from that we are saying that when subtle body or gross body gets destroyed, soul is resuming its spiritual identity. What happens to the super soul? Paramatma also resumes its spiritual identity, right? It's always spiritual. So Paramatma remains as it was before. Okay, it doesn't apply to Paramatma there. So Jiva and Paramatma are both seen functioning in the body. But when the subtle body is dissolved, both Jiva and Paramatma become liberated. That is a wrong conclusion. We cannot say this. Paramatma is free of the covering of these three aspects of time. So this is not applying to Paramatma, this is applying to Jivatma only. So Paramatma remains as he was. Next, sixth verse. Manasrijati vai dehan gunan karmani chatmanah tanmanasrijate maya tato jivasya samsmritihi.
The material bodies, qualities and activities of the spirit soul are created by the material mind. That mind is itself created by the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord, and thus the soul assumes material existence.
In the fifth verse, Sukadeva Goswami said, break the pot. Means, destroy the subtle and gross bodies. In this verse, he is describing how that kind of covering of bodies has happened. Right, the method of body's covering is described here, so that it can be destroyed by knowledge. Right, so Maya creates mind, mind creates body. That is the covering on the soul. So before trying to break the pot, first understand how this pot is made. What is the body? Seventh verse, an example of sixth verse is the seventh verse.
Snehadishtana vartyagni. Samyogo yavadiyate tavaddipasya deepatvam evam deha krito bhavan
rajah sattva tamo vritya jayateta vinashyati.
A lamp functions as such only by the combination of its fuel, vessel, wick and a fire. Similarly, material life based on the soul's identification with the body is developed and destroyed by the workings of material goodness, passion and ignorance, which are the constituent elements of the body.
So the soul and material existence are described. In the sixth verse, he just said Maya creates mind, mind creates the body. So the details, more technical details are given in this by using this example of oil and lamp. Right? This lamp, the lamp is samsara. The oil inside the lamp is the karma. The wick is the body. Right? So the wick consumes this oil and then gives light. Right? So the fire is the consciousness of the living entity that gives the wick. The light that comes out is the soul. Right? So by lamp is the samsara. Right? This material existence, samsara is the lamp. Right? Diya. Then the oil inside it is the karma. How will the oil get exhausted? By the wick. Okay? By being in the body, one is exhausting his karma. Means when the lamp, when the fire is burning, the wick, oil is getting consumed. So the wick is compared to the body. Right? And the fire is the consciousness. Right? The fire that lit the wick, that is the consciousness. Through the consciousness only of identification or whatever, that karma is getting burned or whatever. Finished. Light is the soul. Light is the soul. The effect of the fire. Fire is coming from the wick. Fire is the element. That is the consciousness. Soul is the light that is emanating from the fire. From soul, consciousness comes. But here, in the comparison, fire is compared to the consciousness. Without the fire, in that sense, light is the energy of that fire. Similarly, as you say, soul is the, but Chakurkat gives the other comparison. But what I understood from this, seeing the next verse also is, later he says, one should destroy the lamp, but not the light. Means one should destroy, fire is just a material element. But ultimately we are interested in the light of the fire, the soul. So in that sense, light is compared superior to just the fire. Fire is just existing there only, but the soul is the light is. They are vital. They are important. Basically, soul and consciousness and soul are interrelated. Fire and heat are interrelated. Fire and light are interrelated. So whatever is compared to. Later he says, destroy this lamp, but not the light. So means destroy this samsara, not the soul.
Eighth verse. Natatratma svayam jyotir yo vyaktayo yo vyakta avyaktayo paraha akasha iva chadharo dhruvonanto pamastataha.
The soul within the body is self-luminous and is separate from the visible gross body and invisible subtle body. It remains as the fixed basis of a changing bodily existence, just as the ethereal sky is the unchanging background of material transformation. Therefore, the soul is endless and without material comparison.
So, here, this samsara is described to be the background of the soul, right? Soul is changing bodies, soul is entering from one body to another body, just like within the ethereal sky,
The position of the soul is self-luminous, then separate from gross and subtle bodies, endless, no material comparison, remains fixed. So the sky is the unchanging background of material transformations. Sorry, not the soul. So many, the body is getting transformed, right? There are so many transformations that are happening, but the sky, or the ether, is the background for all these transformations. Similarly, so many bodies are changing, but the soul is fixed, right? That soul is unchanging. It's self-luminous and separate from gross and subtle bodies. All these characteristics of soul are mentioned. But the soul acts as a background for all these changing bodies. Just like sky acts as a background for all these material happenings, transformations. Next. Yeah, soul is compared to sky in this example. Material transformations are compared to bodily changes. Next, final. What is the further action? You have described nicely the difference between soul and body, and eternity of the soul, and permanence of the soul, and temporariness of the body, etc. So what is the further action? He describes in the last four verses. 9th verse.
Evam atmanam atmastham atmanaivam vrishaprabho buddhyanumana garbhinyam
My dear king, by constantly meditating upon the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva, and by applying clear and logical intelligence, you should carefully consider your true self and how it is situated within the material body.
Here he says, use your intelligence to infer the existence of the soul. So I spoke, but you can also use your logic and intelligence to understand the presence of the soul. You realize it. So he already realized, he self-realized soul, but the instruction here is, you try to realize, based on what I said. So the hidden meaning is, you are independent of the body since you are liberated from upadhis. And you are the destroyer of obstacles to bhakti. So this is in the next verse. 10th verse.
Chodito vipravakyena Natvam dhakshyati takshakaha mrutyavo nopa dhakshyanti mrutyunam mrutyumishwaram.
The snake but takshaka, sent by the curse of the brahmana, will not burn your true self. The agents of death will never burn such a master of the self as you, for you have already conquered all dangers on your path back to Godhead.
Here he says, Takshaka cannot burn your body, and agents of death cannot touch you, because you are the master of self. Right? You have already conquered all dangers on the path back to Godhead. So the hidden meaning is, you are independent of the body, since you are liberated from all upadhis, and you are the destroyer of obstacles to bhakti. So obstacle to bhakti. So like here, Takshaka is coming to bite, right? So the real death is considered the covering of one's eternal Krishna consciousness. That is the real death. Here, he is completely Krishna consciousness. There is a question of death. Just like Dhruva Maharaj stepped on the head of death and then entered the airplane, Vaikuntha airplane. So here, one who is in Krishna consciousness, death cannot approach them. For the soul, material illusion is just like death. But Parikshit Maharaj had already destroyed all these dangers that threaten one's spiritual life, such as lust, envy, fear, etc. So Sukadeva Goswami is congratulating Parikshit Maharaj. Oh, you are a pure devotee of Krishna, so you are well on your way back to Godhead. Next verses, 11th and 12th.
Aham Brahma Param Dhamma.
Brahma Aham Paramam Padam.
Evam samiksha chatmanam atmanyadhaya nishkale dashantam takshakam pade delihanam vishananaihi nadrakshyasi shariram cha vishvam cha prathakatmanah.
You should consider, I am non-different from the absolute truth. the supreme abode and that absolute truth. The supreme destination is non-different from me. Thus, resigning yourselves to the supreme soul who is free from all material misidentification, you will not even notice the snake bar Takshaka when he approaches with his poison-filled fangs and bites your foot. Nor will you see your dying body or the material world around you, because you will have realized yourself to be separate from them.
So, here Sukadeva Goswami says that Parikshit will not even notice Takshaka is approaching to bite him. Second, he will not notice that his body is dying. Third, he will not notice the material world around him. He will not be aware of Takshaka, then body dying and material world, provided he thinks that I am non-different from absolute truth. I am the non-different from supreme abode, and absolute truth is non-different from me. Means Brahma aham. So Brahma aham paramam padam. So aham Brahma, Brahma aham. I am Brahman, Brahman is I. So if you think like that, so nothing will happen. you will not even realize that you are about to die. So Chakravartipal says, he gives the Vaishnava meaning of this. Our Parikshit Maharaj should think, I am the worshipper of Lord. I am a conscious particle of the Lord. I belong to the Lord. That's what Brahma aham, aham Brahma means. Right? So I am part and parcel of Lord. Considering this and considering the lotus feet of the Lord, for the Paramam Padam, you see, Paramam Padam, considering the lotus feet of the Lord, surrender to the Lord. Then you will not see Takshaka, your body or the universe, separate from the Lord. Because of fainting with bliss in seeing Krishna, you will not notice Takshaka or your body dying or the universe. In bliss, in absorption in Krishna. Just like Vritrasura was there, he was absorbed in Lord Sankarsana. Indra was, you know, for 1 year he is cutting the throat with his Vajrayudha. He didn't even notice it. He just swallowed Indra and then he went into Samadhi. Right? But Indra somehow managed to come out of that, his body and then started cutting his throat. He didn't even realize it. So, yeah, that is the esoteric meaning. I am the spiritual particle, Dhamma of Supreme Lord. Dhamma is body, house, splendor, beauty, etc. I am the worshipper of Brahman, Brahma Param. Brahma Aham means I belong to the Supreme Lord. Okay. Next. We discussed. Then last verse.
Etatte kathitam tata yadatma prishtavan rupa harer visvatmanas cheshtam kimbhuyaha srotum icchasi.
Beloved King Parikshit, I have narrated to you the topics you originally inquired about. The pastimes of Lord Hari, the supreme soul of the universe. Now, what more do you wish to hear?
So, what else you want to hear? So, now, no more questions. So this is the seventh day, last few moments. So, he will not ask. So, I have previously given the answers to what you asked me concerning the pastimes of the Lord. He again asks Parikshit in order to proclaim the perfection of his disciples. And why he is asking, what else you want to hear? Again, he wanted to glorify Parikshit. So Parikshit Maharaj's response would announce his glories to the world. That's why he is asking this question. Let's see how Parikshit Maharaj responds.
Suta uvacha etannisham yamunina abhithitam Parikshit